everyone, and welcome to the show, Return to Shambhala. Today is September the 5th, 2011. I have a special guest tonight. His name is Wayne Purdon. He was on the show a couple of months back in June of this year, and we discussed several topics revolving around the topic of Shambhala and other topics. But tonight, Wayne has offered to share with us his knowledge of sun gazing, and he has had his own personal experience with it as well. Welcome, Wayne, and thank you for agreeing to be on the show.
Thanks for inviting me, Vicki.
Yes, well, I'm excited. I've heard little bits and pieces of sun gazing. I've heard solar gazing. Is that the same things? Solar gazing, sun gazing?
Yeah. Solar gazing is what the Heart Center calls it.
Okay.
But most people call it sun gazing.
Sun gazing. Okay.
Or sun yoga. Or Surya yoga is the term that Omran Mikhail Ivanhoff used.
Well, I'm interested. I'm very interested in learning more about it. And I from what everybody has been saying, it's absolutely wonderful. And I'm ready to get involved in it.
Have you tried it?
Well, you know, I've tried. I heard a little thing. I think it was there was a discussion going on about how to start off, and that's what I didn't know. I didn't know where to begin. I didn't want to go out in the noon sun and look at the sun. I knew that hurt my eyes, but I have real light blue eyes, and the sun has always just been very bright for me. So I'm learning little bits and pieces, but I want to learn more.
It's a very simple process, but there are a lot of ins and outs, special situations, and there's a free ebook you can find on the internet called Living on Sunlight.
Okay.
And if you go to a site where they're charging you like $40 for it, don't buy it, because it's the author put it on the internet out of the goodness of his heart to make it available to everyone in the world for free. But some unscrupulous people took his PDF file and they're selling it for $40 or more.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can go to scribed.com and find it there.
Okay, great.
And that'll tell you all the steps and what to avoid. But basically, you start out right at sunrise. It's easiest to start out right at the break of dawn. So you need to find a place where you can see the eastern horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So be there a few minutes before the break of day. And the first day, you just gaze at the sun as it's rising for 10 seconds. And the following day, you add 10 seconds. So it'll be 20 seconds the second day, and 30 seconds the third day, and so on. And if it's a cloudy day, then obviously, or rainy, you can't sun gaze. So the next day that it's sunny, you would add another 10 seconds.
Okay.
And you just increase your time until you reach 44 minutes. Now, some people have a hard time gazing from sunrise to 44 minutes after sunrise. So what most people do is they break it up like 20 minutes at sunrise or 20 minutes at sunset, or 22 at sunrise, 22 at sunset. But sunrise is, according to Omran Mikhail Ivanhoff and other authorities, the rays of the sun are more beneficial at sunrise.
Well, it's my favorite time of day. I love to be up and out at sunrise. Uh-huh. I've never, ever wanted to be sleeping at that time, especially not in Arizona. It's so beautiful in the morning. It's nice and cool and fresh. And I love that time of day, so that's perfect for me. But why sun gaze? I've heard it's wonderful for healing, relaxing. Why would we want to sun gaze?
I think most people start sun gazing. I know in my case, I started sun gazing as an alternative healing technique. And I used to have a fear and dislike of the sun. So what caused me to overcome that fear was the fear of death. Because 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with leukemia. And I was obsessed with finding a cure. I would go on the internet for hours every day looking for alternative therapies. I tried dozens. At one time, I was taking 43 different supplements and herbs. I tried every known cure for natural cure for leukemia, and some months my blood count was low, and the other months it would go up. There was no consistent decrease in my white blood cell count from any of the techniques. And finally, I went on a, well, I was on a leukemia website, and a guest came on and told everyone about sun gazing. And most of the forum members poo-pooed it, but I decided to investigate it, and I found a website called solarhealing.com, which is Hiroratan Manek's website, and he is the foremost authority on sun gazing. There are other people, but he has experimented more, read more, and he has lectured all over the world, several hundred lectures in dozens of countries since the 2002, and he recently retired from lecturing. He's in his 70s, but he left a legacy of his teaching, which people like myself and others like Lincoln Gerger in Sedona and Paulus Bomarito in Atlanta, Georgia, we're continuing to teach people what HRM taught. And we have websites. I have suncenterofphoenix.com. Lincoln has sunlightenment.com. And these are two websites people can go on to find more information about sun gazing. I have several issues of the Sun Gazette newsletter on my website. But I think Lincoln's website is much more information if you really want to get into it. And that's sunlightenment.com.
Sunlightenment?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So,
I do.
he has other interviews that I've done. I interviewed HRM, and he has other interviews with HRM on that site. And HRM is Hiroratan Manek, the foremost authority on sun gazing. Unfortunately, he's not doing any more lecture tours. He did about three or four tours in Arizona. And I think Arizona has more sun gazers than any other state.
We have the sun here, that's
because
for sure.
Yeah, there's so much sun here.
I do.
And
every
also,
day.
I think because of the consciousness of the people is higher here. There are a lot of spiritual groups. and Tucson and Sedona and Phoenix. And that's my main focus, is the spiritual aspects of sun gazing. I think most people start sun gazing out of, like what I did, as an alternative healing, or to become more intelligent, better sex, you know, things like that.
Okay.
But I want to steer people more toward the spiritual aspects. So you'll find most of my articles in the Sun Gazette have a spiritual slant. And I was one of the first people to introduce sun gazing to the Heart Center. And I also introduced it to three other organizations, the New Wisdom University and the
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll think of the other organizations later.
Okay. Well, you know, like Arizona is, it's just, there's so much, like there is so much sun, and people are afraid of the sun. I mean, there's a lot of skin cancer in Arizona. People are afraid of getting cataracts. They wear sunglasses when they play golf. There's a lot of golfers and tennis players here.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know.
I think the fear is due to the medical community overemphasizing the negative effects of sunlight. And so most people think that the negative effects that you get from the noon sun are the same effects you would get from the morning, early morning sun. But the doctors are finding that they were wrong about the danger of skin cancer from sunbathing, because they realize that the sunbathing in the early morning gives the person a lot of vitamin D, vitamin D3, which is essential for health.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are deficient in vitamin D3, and the result of vitamin D deficiency is the disease. So the doctors are coming around and admitting that sunbathing can be beneficial in preventing disease, including skin cancer. So it's my hope that they'll also come around and see that sun gazing will not cause people to become blind or develop cataracts. In fact, it's been shown through anecdotal evidence that it actually improves your eyesight. In the last 6 or 7 years, I've gone to eye doctors in the 6 or 7 years since I've been sun gazing, and every time the eye doctor said, "That's funny, you require a weaker prescription. Your eyesight's improving."
That's great. That's amazing.
Every time I ask, do you see any evidence of cataracts? And he says, no. So it's my hope that someone will do an experiment showing that sun gazing actually improves eyesight. And once that experiment is published in a peer-reviewed journal, then I think sun gazing will take off. I know this happened like 30 years ago or 40 years ago with transcendental meditation. I'm a former transcendental meditation instructor, and I remember back in 1972, 1970, Keith Wallace, a graduate student at Harvard, did the first scientific experiment on transcendental meditation, and it showed a reduction in stress. And that just opened up the whole field of research on meditation, and Herbert Benson from Boston University did his studies, and it became acceptable. Meditation wasn't some technique that yogis did, but it was actually a practical stress-reducing technique that also increased intelligence and improved health overall. So I think there's a groundbreaking study on sun gazing that will just open up the field, and the graduate students at many universities that will look at the different effects of sun gazing and sunbathing. And also, there's two other aspects of sun yoga, and that's barefoot walking on sun-warmed sand and drinking sun-charged water. And students can do studies on those two aspects also.
Yes, that would be great. Now, what about walking on sand with bare feet?
Uh-huh.
Is that what did you say the benefits
that's
are of that?
That was one of the techniques HRM recommended people to do in addition to sun gazing and sunbathing and drinking sun-charged water.
Okay.
And
all of that together.
You said it's another way of absorbing solar energy through the bottoms of the feet. But I think there are other reasons why it's beneficial. One of them is it exercises the pressure points on the sole of the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And these stimulate all the glands in the body. And another effect of walking barefoot is that you become more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
You connect more with the earth, more with the yin energies. And I think one of the reasons why HRM recommended barefoot walking in conjunction with sun gazing is that sun gazing is very yang energy. And you require the yin energy from barefoot walking.
Oh, yeah. Father, son. That's right. Mother, Earth, Father,
balance
son.
That out.
I lived in Florida for many years, and who doesn't love to walk on the beach without shoes? I loved it. I'm living in Arizona now, so I don't do that anymore, but I sure did it when I was in Puerto Vallarta this summer. I loved that.
Uh-huh.
What about charging the water? How do you do that? Charging the water with the solar light?
You get a large glass container, like an apothecary jar. You can get like 1 gallon, 2 gallon jars at Walmart.
Wayne, you're fading in and out, and I don't know if it's just me or...
Might be my phone.
Okay.
I need to get another portable
phone. It goes soft, and then it goes perfect, and then it goes soft and perfect.
I'll put this one on the charger and use the one that's in the charger now.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on the other phone. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, so what was I saying?
We were talking about you get a jar for the water to charge the water with solar light.
Right, and you fill it half full with water. If it's a 2 gallon apothecary jar, you put a gallon of water in it. And you put a glass cover over it. Most apothecary jars you buy would come with a glass cover. You don't want to use metal or plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's all glass. And you set it out in the sun. Depending on the time of year, like in the summer, it could get charged in 4 hours. In the winter, you could leave it out all day. And when it's charged, you bring it in the house to cool. You can put it in a ceramic bowl to cool. HRM didn't recommend putting it in a refrigerator because it would be close to the compressor. And if you put the sun-charged water near any electrical device, especially the highly charged, like the compressor, they would discharge the water. So
okay.
If you want to cool it, just put it in a clay or ceramic bowl. And but I like to drink it hot. I think drinking hot sun-charged water is the best. And
okay.
In fact, in places where it's not possible to sun-charge water, like in the northern states in the middle of the winter, what I recommend people do is heat a pan of water on the stove. If they have a gas or wood stove, because the fire from the wood and the gas is a form of solar energy. And that solar energy would charge the water. And you boil the water and then you drink it as hot as you can stand it. And I find that is just as healing as sun-charged water.
Hmm. Okay. These are things I really hadn't thought of.
In fact, Peter Dunoff, Omar Mikhail Ivanov's master, recommended people to heal themselves if they had a cold or Omram had hepatitis at one point, and Peter Dunoff told him to drink hot water. No herbal tea, just plain hot water, and to also bless the water, and he healed himself with just hot water.
Oh, that's that's wonderful.
Sun-charged, because back then, they didn't have electric stoves. So.
Right.
And Omram learned sun gazing from Peter Dunoff. In fact, when he first met Peter Dunoff, it was when he was walking to the shore of the Black Sea in Bulgaria, where he would gaze at the rising sun. And the first year or two that Omram was with Peter Dunoff, he would go to the sunrise every morning to sun gaze. And Omram sun gazed every morning for over 60 years of his life.
You're fading, Wayne, you're fading in and out again.
Uh-huh.
I missed about half of that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There.
I think what I'll have to do is go on my
landline.
No, you're
fine now. Oh, they just faded out. Okay.
So you might hear some background noise. But
okay.
If I get on the landline, I won't be fading out, I'm pretty sure.
I'm just wondering if it's me, if it's my Skype. I'm not sure.
Okay, on the landline, right?
Okay.
Is this much better?
No, it's softer.
But I'm not fading out?
There, yeah, okay, there you go. That's good.
I think it's the portable phones that are not as good quality as the one that's not portable.
The landline, okay.
So, I was talking about Omran Mikhail Ivanhoff and how he sun gazed for over 60 years, and he wrote several books about it. The first book that I read was Toward a Solar Civilization. And that's sort of a condensed version of another book called The Splendor of Tipperith. And a third book is Light is a Living Spirit. And in all three books, he talks about the importance of the sun, not just for health, but for spiritual enlightenment. And I've taught several courses through New Wisdom University and the Heart Center's Mary University on sun gazing. And in every course, I emphasize the spiritual aspects of it that Omran taught. And last spring, I taught a course on the Initiatic School of the Great White Brotherhood, which had a lot more teaching on the initiatic path taught by Peter Dunoff and Omran, and included other techniques besides sun gazing. And I think of all the techniques, sun gazing is probably the most powerful and probably the simplest. Once people get over their initial fear of the sun, I think they find that is very easy compared to other spiritual techniques like meditation or yoga.
Well, that the fear of the sun, I'm wondering how many people who, you know, they wanted to be tan so they would go out in the sun, and but they would also do tanning beds, you know, tan, to keep tanned in the winter. And I'm just wondering if a lot of that skin cancer wasn't caused by the tanning beds rather than the sun itself, because those were so popular 20 years ago. And there's just a lot of pressure to be tanned and, oh, get a tan and be tanned. But if you're out early in the morning, you're not going to get sunburnt or anything like that. When I play golf, I always ask for the earliest tee time, which is usually about 6 o'clock, and it's perfect. But that's when they charge you a fortune to play, because they know everybody wants to stay cool. But I don't feel any harsh effects. I'm not afraid of the sun early in the morning like that, not at all. But I would be very afraid of tanning beds, and also I've heard that even sunscreen, chemicals from the pool and things like that are causing skin cancer. It's not the sun; it's the combination of the chemicals, and not the sun gets blamed for the whole nine yards, and it's a combination of other things that they're finding now. Sunscreen itself. So,
you know, all the artificial tanning booths and the bright lights to cure the seasonal affective disorder, they all have harmful effects. But they found that sunlight doesn't have harmful effects if you use the early morning sunlight.
Go ahead.
The bright lights for seasonal affective disorder causes macular degeneration. People that sun gaze to cure depression don't have that side effect. And the tanning that you get from the sun doesn't cause skin cancer. In fact, it's the best protection for the skin is a good tan as opposed to the suntan lotion. It has all the chemicals in it.
I read a case, a cardiologist, well, she wasn't just a cardiologist, she was the chair of the whole department in the hospital of cardiology, and she developed a huge tumor right in her neck, in her chest area. It was like the size of an apple or something. It was huge. And she was considering chemo and all of these things, and she said, no. She said, I'm not going to make it. So her her treatment was to be in the sun every day, to juice, and she read her Bible. She did those three things, and it showed on her website before and after where the tumor was completely gone.
Uh-huh.
And she was a cardiologist. She knew that
right.
She couldn't handle the chemo. It just wasn't going to work. She would have moved on if she had.
Uh-huh. Well, that's
so
good.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember.
I think the sun was definitely an important factor in her healing.
Uh-huh.
In the book Living on Sunlight, there's several pages of testimonials of people being healed of various diseases from sun gazing and sunbathing.
Cheryl, our friend Cheryl was talking the other day about how it's so relaxing. The minute she starts the sun gazing, just a beautiful feeling of joy and relaxation, and it's just a wonderful feeling. She said when she can't wait to get up in the morning and do her sun gazing. It's so rewarding.
And you don't get used to that feeling. It's like every sunrise is new, and it's, you get that joyful feeling as though it was the first time you saw the sun.
You mentioned something about a word, solution. What is that about, solution?
That's the title of my book.
Oh, gosh, Wayne, I didn't know that.
The full title is The Solution, with capital S-O-L, laying the foundation for a solar civilization.
Well, where did we get your book?
On my website.
Okay. Tell
it's the suncenterofphoenix.com. And it has an option for an audiobook or an ebook, but I'm all out of audiobooks, and it's a labor-intensive process, and I think people would be more satisfied with an ebook, because there are links in the ebook to the audio files that are on the CD audiobook. And
the
ebook doesn't wear out like the CDs.
Right.
So I recommend people get the ebook. It's only $9.
Okay. Great. I'm sorry I didn't know. I get so wrapped up in my own little world, you know. What are the Ascended Masters saying through the Heart Center? I know we just had a conference. I listened over the internet with Saint Germain. What are the Ascended Masters saying
about
sun gazing, and in connection with 2012?
Uh-huh. And many masters have spoken about the importance of sun gazing from Helios on down. Saint Germain, Omram, Peter Dunoff, many others, Mother Mary. And they all say the same thing, that it's essential to connect with the sun, because the sun is a symbol of the spiritual sun behind the sun, and you can connect with that spiritual sun through the physical sun. And also with your sun presence, which is the mighty I Am presence that people might know from other teachings, like the I Am movement, the Summit Lighthouse. The solar presence is the same as the I Am presence, which is your individual God presence that is surrounded by spheres of colored light representing all your attainment from your past embodiments. So sun gazing helps a person to connect with their solar presence. And the sun in the heart center has several prayers that can be said while you're sun gazing to help facilitate this process. And when my family and I sun gaze, we usually say these prayers. And there's a song, a couple of songs too. And I've written a couple of songs about the sun that are in the Heart Center songbook.
Oh, which one are those? Which one are your songs?
Come, O Sun of Righteousness, and Hymn to the Great Central Sun.
Okay.
And I received the music and the Hymn to the Great Central Sun, the music is a hymn. But the music for Come, O Sun of Righteousness is an original melody that I was inspired while sun gazing. And the lyrics just came to me on the same time as I got the music, and they just fit together. It's a very powerful song, and I believe, and I think David confirmed, that it's a divinely inspired song from the sun.
Okay, and it's on the website on
it's on the Heart Center,
heartcenter.org.
And under media, songs and prayers, or prayers and songs. If people want to listen, they can go to that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Is there a silent meditation that you do when you're sun gazing? Or I think music is wonderful. It engages so many aspects of ourselves, our bodies. What is there a silent meditation that comes?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, silence is the best thing to do while you're sun gazing. That's what Omram recommended people do.
To silence your mind.
But he also said that you can try different things every day. So, and another thing HRM and Omram recommended people do before sun grazing is pranayama. Because the prana in the atmosphere right before and after sunrise is very, very charged. So when you do pranayama at that time, your body gains much benefit.
There was a meditation that Drumbalo Melchizedek taught the facilitators to teach, to do and to teach, and it was called the Earth Sky. And what basically what you do is first you come into your heart, and then from your heart you project through your tube of light, you project a connection to the earth, and then upward to the sky or to the sun or something that would connect you to the Father Sky and Mother Earth. So I think that might be where I'm going to start with that silent meditation, where I feel that connection from my heart to all that is, and then here I am. I'm right in the presence, my own presence, and I'm totally connected to the earth and the sky and the sun, and I'll try that.
Yeah. One of the things Om Ron recommended was contemplation, where you would read a paragraph of some profound spiritual teaching, and right before sunrise, and you would contemplate that while the sun was rising, and ask the sun to illumine your mind and to go deeper into that teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did it, I also asked Om Ron to inspire me and teach me more about what I read. And I really received very profound teachings when I did that. And then I wrote them down in a journal after I sun gazed.
That sounds great. So let's say you live in a place that's mountainous and you don't really see the sun until later on in the morning.
Like Tucson?
Like Tucson. Well, the sun actually comes up. I'm in a valley, so there are places that I can direct myself to where it's coming up. Well, right now it's coming up around 6. 6 o'clock. In the summer it was more like 4:30, 4:45. But in Puerto Vallarta, the sun was coming up behind the mountains. By the time you actually see the sun, it's going to be later. Maybe you could switch to the afternoon, to the sunset, or...
Yeah, that's one possibility.
Okay.
HRM said that up to 1 hour after sunrise was safe for sun gazing. So if the sun rises over the mountain and it's less than an hour after sunrise, then it would be okay. It might be kind of bright. And what you can do is hold your hands up so that and form a triangle with your thumb and your index finger of both hands, and that would tend to reduce the intensity, and also only one eye would be focused on the sun, so it would be bearable for most people. And another thing you can do is to drive to higher up to a spot where you can see the sun rise earlier. And HRM said that people drive miles to go see a doctor. Why not drive a few miles to go see the sun, which is the best doctor?
Right. Yes. I can watch the sun set. Right. I can watch it go right down the horizon in the west, but it's a little bit late. Right for my house, it's a little bit later on. It's got to come over a a hill. Okay, what about looking through a tree to let the leaves kind of
another technique to deal with the intensity. If the sun's too bright, you can position yourself so that it's like right on the edge of the tree and the leaves are filtering it.
Well, go ahead. I'll come back to my question.
Another technique to deal with the late morning sun that's beyond the 1 hour after sunrise is to gaze at its reflection in a pool of pure water.
Oh,
or HRM said another thing you can use is a polished black obsidian mirror. For some reason, the reflection of the sun off the pure water or black obsidian, polished obsidian, is not harmful, even after 1 hour after sunrise.
Okay.
So what was your question?
I forgot. I wrote it down. Let's see where I wrote it. I can't remember.
Yeah, a lot of these questions are in the book Living on Sunlight.
Okay.
And just every possible question you can think of, you can find answers in there.
And what about your book, Solutions? Is the same information is there?
Well, the first part, it's divided into three parts. The first part is the techniques and tools of sun gazing and how to do it, the timers, UV index cards, and meters that show what the UV rating is. I usually don't pay much to the UV index. It's supposed to be below 2 for sun gazing and between 2 and 5 for sunbathing. But I just go by feel. And I also, in the first part, I talk about the other three techniques, barefoot walking, sun-charged water, and sunbathing. In part 2, I talk about the history of sun gazing from Thutmose the Third to Omam. And
okay.
It has several chapters, one chapter for each teacher of sun gazing. And the other chapters include Serapis, Jesus, Akhenaten, Moses, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Omam. And I show that there's a continuous chain of teaching from Thutmose the Third to Omram throughout the centuries. Another one was Pythagoras. And part 3 of the solution, I talk about advanced techniques and there's a chapter on Amrita, which is a very interesting substance that gets secreted by the pineal gland due to sun gazing. After you've been sun gazing for a few years, you notice most people just notice a feeling of joy, but there are some sun gazers who actually taste this incredible taste in the back of their throat, and it's the secretion of the Amrita from the pineal gland. It drips down the back of the throat, and you can actually taste it. They say it's an indescribable taste, and it it causes this intense feeling of bliss. And it's been called the elixir of immortality. In the next chapter, I talk about the deathless solar body and how we can attain immortality. Some yogis have attained this state through sun gazing and other techniques.
Well,
and the final chapter of the book talks about 2012 and how we can raise the consciousness of people as we enter the changes that we're experiencing right now. And I'll be giving a talk on this using material from my book and more recent material that I've discovered, including Peter Dunoff's prophecy of the new era, which I think references 2012. I'll be giving this talk at the Heart Center's New Year's Conference in Carefree, Arizona.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you were going to present. I thought I remembered you saying you would. Well, I am going to that, so that's great. I'll be happy
It'll
to hear
It'll be December
that.
29th through January 1st at the Spirit in the Desert Retreat Center in Carefree. And I visited it a few weeks ago, and it's an amazing facility. The rooms are huge, and they're ridiculously priced at like $65 a room. And it has a spa with a pool and a meditation path that has desert landscape and a huge labyrinth. So it's a perfect retreat center for people who want to meditate. And I think you can see both the sunrise and sunset from it.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I can't wait.
It'll be, I think like 14 masters will be discoursing, plus 5 or 6 people giving presentations. Deborah Lemoore will be giving a presentation on the envisioning the golden crystal age of Aquarius. And this lady, Cynthia Scherer from Tucson, is going to be giving a talk on desert flower remedies. And she gave the same talk at my first Heart Center conference in Phoenix in the end of 2006, that New Year's conference. And she's quite an amazing lady. And she also sings kirtan.
So what's that?
Crouton? It's bhajans.
Oh, okay.
So she'll be doing that that Friday evening, December 30th.
I can't wait. It's going to be a great conference.
Very exciting conference.
It is.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know it. And then a year from about, approximately a year from that time, we'll be in Lake Titicaca in Bolivia. Are you and your family going to go to that?
Well, I'm determined to go.
I know, I
am. Depends on our finances, if everybody can go.
Right.
But I just had an opportunity today to earn some more money, and it's a business I'm getting into, and I think that in the next year and a half I'll earn earn enough money to pay for everybody.
Oh, that'll be great. The whole family would go. Oh, that's...
It'd be a life, once in an age opportunity.
Yes.
It's the new age of the sun.
It's going to be wonderful. I don't know if I have clothes for it, though. It's going to be a little cool there. Not too bad. Bolivia's, I looked it up. It's not going to be that cold. Well,
if people want to find out more about the pilgrimage to Lake Titicaca, they can go on the Heart Center website.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometime this week, the information about the New Year's conference is going to be up on the website. So Deborah Lamora and I are finishing the final draft of that.
All right. Well, I was wondering when that was going to come out because I want to go. I want to get signed up and get my room and everything. It's all set up. I don't want to wait till the last minute on that.
It'll probably be sometime this week. You can register for it.
Okay, great. So many times the conferences are far from Tucson, and this year it's just a couple hours away. So I'm very grateful for that. I think we're running out of time. Let's see. It's 6:58. Yes.
Final question about sun gazing?
Well, I was going to ask you about sunbathing. I should have asked at the beginning, but sunbathing, sun gazing, is it the same? Is it different?
Sunbathing has similar effects as sun gazing. Only it's instead of your eyes, it's more your body.
Okay.
Instead of serotonin being released through sun gazing, you're releasing endorphins. When the sun warms the skin, you release endorphins, and that's another feel good hormone.
What about, I remember David's talking about this a few weeks ago or something about trying not to have too many clothes on, to let the sun come into as much of your body as you can. What if there's a window between you and the sun? Is that going to matter? Because I can't really go out in my patio or outdoors with I could go out in a swimsuit, which is like underwear, but, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, nude sunbathing is the best, and if you can find the privacy, that would be good. You can sunbathe through a window as long as the glass isn't UV protected.
Okay.
And you would find that by looking at the top right hand corner of the glass pane. It should say UV something.
Okay,
or
great.
You can just open the window. In fact, Benjamin Franklin used to sunbathe in the nude, opening his window.
Okay.
Even in the middle of the winter.
Well, I've heard
people thought he was crazy, but
Benjamin Franklin.
I think he got a lot of his wisdom from the sunbathing. Probably sungaze too, but I'm not sure on that.
Well, Wayne, I feel very inspired. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of your knowledge and wisdom on this topic. And I look forward to seeing you in the New Year's conference. And thank you so much.
You're welcome, Vicki.
It's been wonderful. Very, very enlightening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.